On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap the women's basketball weekend as our ladies are Sweet 16 bound. I also touch on the men's head coaching search updates, and then I will review and recap the baseball series against Tennessee. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 52 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And oh man, it is the March Madness, the Madness weekend. I hope you had an amazing weekend out there, locking yourself into whatever room, bar, whatever it is to watch basketball until your eyes want to jump out of their sockets, because it was an incredible weekend. Brackets busted left and right. How about Baylor going down? How about Kentucky going down? St. Peter's, didn't even know St. Peter's school existed until this weekend, and they are the Cinderella team that everyone was wondering, where's it going to come from? What an electric weekend to be a sports fan. And then obviously there is a lot going on in Gamecock country as well. I'm going to dive into that. But first, you know, we have to start with our South Carolina fact here. Fact. Trisha Papowski finished her Gamecock softball career in 1991 after setting an NCAA all-division record for career triples, slapping 51 three-baggers in her time in Columbia. Entering the 2021 season, her mark still stood. Shout out Trisha. Trisha Pop. T-Pop. That's pretty impressive softball career. I think our softball team this year is doing pretty good. I should do a better job of updating y'all on how they are doing, but feels like almost every time I see an update from them on social media, they're winning. So shout out to the softball team. Good deal. But we have to lead off this show, have to talk about the weekend, because our women's basketball team is Sweet 16 bound. How sweet it is. Was that the Stevie Wonder song? I think it's Stevie Wonder. How sweet it is to be. Yeah, it's a good jam. But they are Sweet 16 bound. They really handled their business in front of the home crowd in Colonial Life. The fans were off the chart. Colonial Life was a madhouse both games. So going to review both games here for you. Friday, we beat Howard, the 16 seed, 79-21. Sheesh. Talk about sheesh. It was a tournament record for lowest points allowed in a game, but also in a half, because at halftime, Howard had 4 points. I'm going to say that again. It was a tournament record for lowest points allowed in a game total, but then in a half, because at halftime, Howard had 4 points. Four. So, yeah, dominating, to say the least. I think it was just a shock and awe type of game. We came out swinging, determined to show out on our home court, and Howard simply just, they didn't know how to react. You know, in the fourth quarter, they put together a little bit of a respectable quarter. Granted, it was against our bench, but I just think they were simply overwhelmed. You know, congrats to them for, you know, getting that win, playing into the tournament, all that jazz, but we're the number one overall seed, baby. That's what you kind of expect, right? So some player highlights for you here. Again, 79-21, it was a walking highlight for the team, but Aaliyah Boston, 10 points, 12 rebounds. Victoria Saxon, 8 points and 13 rebounds. And really, like I just said, just too many good performances to count. And it was cool because we were also able to open up our bench to many different players. They had their number called. They got some points. They got some key minutes. And That is awesome to say that you could do that in a tournament game, but that was just what we needed. I mentioned it in the last episode that we needed this game to get back to the winning feeling, and this certainly did the trick, right? I think that's a very fair statement. Now, moving over to the next game, it was Sunday in the round of 32. We beat Miami 49-33, and this atmosphere, I know I said both games, but this atmosphere was absolutely insane, and you could tell that the fan support really brought that energy, especially on the defensive end, because this was a very defensive game for both teams. Both teams struggled, to say the least, offensively. Miami, I think at one point, for most of the game even, they had a field goal percentage in the high teens, like 18-19%. And for us, it kind of felt like one of those days where we just weren't getting the right bounces. You know, we had plenty of good looks, in my opinion. We were moving the ball, passing the ball well, getting good sets, good looks. And even when we had good chances with our bigs for layups, for whatever reason, the ball was just not going in, right? And I mean, that happens sometimes. You certainly don't want it to happen in an elimination game like this one, but luckily we were able to work around it, and hopefully Don can address that. We can work out any kinks, whatever it may be, before the next round. Some highlights for you here. Aaliyah Boston, she struggled in this game. You know, she had a tough go at it offensively, felt like she was stuck at 4-6 points for most of the game, but she did not let it take away from the other aspects of her game that make her the incredible player that she is. She ended up with 10 points and 16 rebounds. The double-double streak, it stays alive. 26 games, and our fans are incredible. They are so knowledgeable. She was struggling to get the shot, struggling to get those buckets, and she got 6 points, 8 points in the fourth quarter, only a couple minutes left. She gets fouled. It's a 1-1. She gets the first one. The place starts going nuts. She gets the second one, and the place was on its feet, absolutely electric, because we know how incredible this double-double streak is. But even in a game where Aaliyah was not as effective offensively, not as efficient offensively as she typically is, she made huge impacts with rebounds and defensively, and distributing the ball, and down the stretch, she got some big buckets. She started to get her groove back a little bit, but hopefully she doesn't let it deter her. She keeps shooting, she keeps sticking with it, because we need her. Absolutely cannot make it far in this tournament if Aaliyah cannot be the player that we know her to be. Camila Cardozo, really in the absence of offensive output from Boston, really stepped up in this game, had a great game. Camila Cardozo with 11 points, 8 rebounds, and just great overall presence. She had a couple of big block shots, key free throws. When she can step up, it is really a difference maker. Zaya Cook with 8 points, Destiny Henderson with 9. And like I said here, this was a hard-fought, impressive win. In the tournament, things rarely go according to plan, right? So it was great to see our defense and our rebounding hold true to get us the W, because it was sloppy on both ends. And Miami was able to hang around in there because of that. But we were not letting them get second chances a lot. We were stopping them. We were causing turnovers. And that's the type of stuff that travels. You know, that's the type of stuff that can take you deep into tournaments. Now, with that being said, you absolutely have to find a way to get some more offense, because without that, teams that are better than Miami might not go so quietly into the night, right? And speaking of that, our next game will be Friday, taking on the winner of UNC and Arizona. They play Monday night, if I'm not mistaken. I'm obviously going to preview that ahead of the next matchup in the next episode, but either way you slice it, those are two pretty good teams. Two good programs. Arizona obviously had that big run last year, so going to keep an eye on this one. But hopefully, with it being in Greensboro, we still have that fan support and things like that, especially for playing Arizona. I mean, Arizona to Greensboro, that'd be a weird flight. I don't even know how you would pull that off. But Nevertheless, hopefully we can iron out those kinks and keep this run going, because especially against Howard and at moments and against Miami, we're looking impressive, and we obviously have big sights set on. And also, in our bracket, Iowa lost. After all that Caitlin Clark talk and all that their coach speak, they got upset. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Iowa. So now our bracket's shaping up real nice. So fingers crossed we can hold true and make a nice long run at this. And on the subject of basketball here, men's coaching search update. If you were not part of Gamecock Twitter, now is certainly a great time to jump on, because we have a little bit of everything coming out of this weekend. We have conspiracy theories. We have Hall's Chop House. We have sightings. We have mistaken identity. It was unbelievable weekend. In short, I'm not going to dive into it too much, but in short, everyone wanted Sean Miller. It felt like there was mutual interest with Sean Miller. It felt like the talks were progressing, and someone thought they saw him at Hall's Chop House in Columbia meeting with the brass, and that story took on a life of its own where people were trying to literally go to Hall's to confirm it or not, and it turns out that it was basically a case of mistaken identity, which sent Gamecock Twitter and us fans into an absolute frenzy for like 36 hours. It was bananas, but unfortunately, it seems like Miller has taken the job at Xavier, which leaves us with, you know, sort of our plan B and plan C options. And I don't know who it's going to be. The names I'm hearing is Lamont Paris out of Chattanooga, McMahon out of Murray State. And an interesting name to keep an eye out on is BJ Mackey. So he's obviously not a head coach right now. He's an assistant at Wake Forest, but Carolina alum. Apparently his name is picking up a lot of steam. Interesting to keep an eye on. I don't know what I really make of that. I think anytime you could have an alum involved, it's special. But we're in such a delicate place right now with our program, and the SEC is raising its game, that it would be a big, big gamble to take a guy who has not been a head coach and trust him to elevate you past where we had been. It's going to be interesting to watch. I think now with some of these tournament games ending and some of these coaches now, their season is over, I think this process will pick up steam, and hopefully by this time next week, we have an answer as to who is our next coach, because that person, whoever it is, they got to get in and they got to hit the ground recruiting fast and hard, and they got to keep as many guys within our program as possible. So we'll see how it goes, but it was a drama-filled weekend. With conspiracy theories, stake, mistaken identities. It was honestly something out of a soap opera. It was insane. And I'm following it along on freaking Twitter, of all things. Just absolutely bonkers. If I was in Columbia, I 1,000% would have just rolled up to Hall's Chop House and walked around the restaurant looking for Sean Miller. I would have been very disappointed to learn that he was not there. Oh, well. Whoever that guy was who looks like him, he must get it all the time. That's really funny, though. But speaking of a drama-filled weekend, the baseball team had it was not so much a drama, it was a tragedy. Yeah, it was not a good weekend for our baseball team as we were swept by Tennessee. Just a tough, tough weekend there. Friday, loss 8-3. Saturday, loss 5-2. And Sunday, loss 10-0, got blanked. Sunday, in particular, was a real poor showing from the Cox. I mean, bad fundamentals really stood out, making silly mistakes, bad defense, just not what you want to see from an SEC team that is really trying to claw back and establish an identity and all that jazz. I mean, don't get me wrong, Tennessee is a very good team. They're one of the best in the SEC. This team could go to Omaha, right? But it's still overall a pretty poor performance, and I don't want to lean on that as an excuse, right? To get blanked 0-10 on Sunday, that's just really bad. And I know it's still very early in the year, and obviously this is our first series in the SEC, but you just can't get swept, period. It sets you so far back. It kills your team morale. There's just every negative thing that can happen when you get swept happens, and now we've seen it twice in this very early season. So I don't know what it is, but we need to make adjustments ASAP. I'm not going to dive into each game here because there's just not a whole lot to look at, frankly. But I have some takeaways from this series. And first one being the areas of concern we had for this team going into last weekend against Texas, where we were like, oh my gosh, this could get ugly. Those got covered up a little bit, but those are still glaring, like glaring issues. The bullpen in particular stands out to me as a huge area of concern that just simply we can't give it to anyone else. It's just tough. And when you don't have any semblance of reliability, I mean, at least that's what it feels like in your bullpen, that's a tough way to win. That makes it very, very tough to win. Also, takeaway number two here, Michael Braswell is human. He was it was a tough series for the freshman, but I mean, look, SEC play is an adjustment. He is a freshman. He's seeing much better pitching, better teams overall. He's going to be fine, but little back-to-earth moment for Braswell there. Takeaway number three, Matthew Becker should be a weekend starter for the rest of the year. We said that going into this series that if he can establish himself as a reliable option in our rotation, it would take a lot of the burden off everyone, and he showed up. He was the pitcher in Sunday, which unfortunately that score does not reflect accurately what he did. He went, I believe it was 5 innings, gave up 2 runs, maybe one, 3 with a 1 unearned, but he did exactly what you would want him to do. He has good stuff. He provided a little stability in that spot. The team just could not get anything together. And then the bullpen just gave up a ton of runs. But if you can go Will Sanders and then Matthew Becker, that's a pretty decent 1-2 punch, right? Obviously, we lost the game when Will Sanders went on Saturday. He was a little human too, but he can only do so much. I believe he only gave up 2 or 3 runs. We scored 2. That's just simply not going to get it done. We need to continue to find different ways to manufacture runs. And there's a couple guys in the lineup. You know, I think of Seitler, who just, they're slumping. There's just no way to put it. You know, he's in a slump. It stinks. You got to bust out of that. I don't really know. But the next game here is the midweek game against the Citadel. That's in Charleston. Citadel is 13-6 overall. And my crow to the game here, just get back to basics, man. Play sound, fundamental baseball, because we did not see that against Tennessee. We shouldn't have to say that as an SEC team, you know, essentially a month into the year, into the season rather, but that's where we're at, right? We cannot give away base runners and runs. We need to provide plenty of run support and defense for whoever is on the mound, because we just can't, we're not getting these low scoring games. It's frustrating, right? 8 runs, 5 runs, 10 runs. We need to find a way to either be right there with these teams scoring an ass ton of runs, or we got to keep it low scoring, which that just doesn't feel like that's going to happen with our bullpen. I don't know. It's tough, but hopefully we can get back into a nice groove on Tuesday and then enter the next series and try to get 1 or 2. It's a tough go at it, though. But with that, y'all, that actually wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram, just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast on whichever platform you listen it to. I really do appreciate it. We got a lot of fun things coming up for the Gamecocks in general. Women's basketball, the tournament run continues. I'm excited to preview that on Friday. I will catch y'all on the flip side. Go Cox.